Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other podcast platforms. Thanks so much for listening, and do be sure that you have hit the subscribe button so that you get every episode automatically every week. There is no cost to subscribe. It's simply an option you select one time for convenience. We even have a subscribe page on the website that tells you not only where, but how you can subscribe. Again, though, there's no cost to do that. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps. And there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Please be sure to like, follow, etc. on those platforms. You can always send comments through the website. Plus, you can post thoughts, suggestions, and engage with other listeners, and even post prayer requests in the show's Facebook group, which is called CSR Listeners. There's a button for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. Also, please help me spread the word about the show. I'd appreciate it if you would tell others about Catholic Sports Radio as I continue trying to draw in more listeners in the hopes that this ministry will bring them closer to Christ. And by the way, if this is your first time listening, thank you, and do go back and listen to previous episodes of Catholic Sports Radio. There have been a lot of great guests, a lot of really good testimony. In terms of my ministry moment for this episode, there was a hockey game a couple weeks ago where two players each scored their first career NHL goal in the same game. A lot of anticipation builds towards milestones like that. When is it finally going to happen? You know it's out there, and eventually you'll reach that. And then there's great joy among the other teammates for someone who accomplishes that. In the Catholic Church, I think of the RCIA program and the longing that the candidates have to get confirmed and finally receive the Eucharist, and then all the excitement that surrounds that occasion. This is the type of enthusiasm that we must all have every day for doing the Lord's work and seeing His hand in situations that aren't milestones, that aren't special occasions, aren't holidays or holy days. It should not take a career achievement for us to rejoice and be glad in Him. Amen? Moving on now with episode 51, my guest is the head coach of the men's soccer team at Belmont Abbey, a Catholic college in North Carolina. He played pro soccer in South Africa and captained West Virginia University men's soccer. He is going into his 10th year at Belmont Abbey and had successful coaching stops at a couple other schools along the way. Like me, he too is a Benedictine oblate, and at one point he even headed up the Catholic Defense League of Nebraska. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, John Keating.
Thank you, Bruce. It's good to be with you and your listeners.
Yes, thank you, John. First things first, I got to ask, how does a pro soccer player from South Africa end up in West Virginia? Like, not even, say, a top college soccer program like Indiana.
I know, it's an unlikely, well, God, I guess, in the end. I wouldn't be here without that kind of influence. But long story short, it was to escape conscription in the apartheid army, which in 1988 was not really an army that anybody wanted to be part of, with it being part of the racist government of the National Party. There's no way out of national service. All males could either defer and go to university temporarily or go to the army. There was no conscientious objection. And so at that time, I really started to cast my eyes on leaving. And then I was playing in a professional game one day for Vitz, Bidvest is what they called it, and there was a scout in the crowd from the States who was a South African himself who'd played down in Boca Raton in Florida, but was at home on vacation, went to see a local game, and contacted me after he saw the game, and then 2 weeks later, I think I sat for the SAT. He also happened to be best friends with the coach at West Virginia University, okay. Rocky Harmon.
Okay.
And then the rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah, wow. Well, you worked at Warren Wilson College and at a state university in New York. My point being, not Catholic schools. Did that stunt your growth in terms of deepening your relationship with Christ, or were you able to persevere despite being at institutions that did not have serving Christ in their mission statement?
No, it was actually quite the opposite. I'll use Warren Wilson as the better example. Warren Wilson College was a fantastic place to work at. And I love the young men at that college and still in touch with many of them. And we're very close friends now. They're now dads and husbands and fathers. It was and still is rated as the most liberal college in America. And it's something that they pride themselves on. Needless to say, all the things that come with that handle exist at Warren Wilson College. And I found that as the assistant athletic director there and soccer coach, that my faith came under attack in significant ways, being arguably the only pro-lifer or conservative, shall we say, on campus. The net result was that I did not have answers for the accusations, and ended up learning more about my faith in that three-year span as a way to defend my faith than I had in the previous 20-something years. So it was a catalyzing moment. I started attending Mass at St. Lawrence Basilica in Asheville, met some wonderful folks there, got involved with sidewalk counseling and pro-life ministry, and really did a lot for my faith, and it was a turning point, really.
Amazing. But I shouldn't be surprised. That's the Lord will reach us in situations where we least expect, and as you say, in that case, from the outside looking in, it's exactly what I saw. Well, a liberal arts school, a state university, it was probably... I did the bare bones minimum to get by, and that's where the rubber really meets the road, spiritually speaking.
Yes, no doubt.
As I touched on a little bit on episode 41 of Catholic Sports Radio with Jacob Flores, who spent a little time playing in the NFL, but is already off into the corporate world doing a 9-to-5 job, I do want some of this show to include athletes and coaches leaving sports and going into civilian life, if you will. But John, you actually went the other way. You had a really good job in Omaha, but walked away from it to take the job as men's soccer coach at Belmont Abbey.
Yes, I had done a lot of youth soccer coaching in Omaha. My coaching career started out in college and is obviously back in college, but in between did a spell as a youth soccer coach. But towards the end of that particular 10-year spell, I moved from daily coaching to management and administration of a mega club of 4,000 or 5,000 athletes at Omaha FC in Omaha, Nebraska, and as such did very little coaching at that point and was an executive director. To your point about Jacob Flores, at that point it was more of a corporate position as the executive director than a coach. And so when the opportunity at Belmont Abbey College reared itself, it was an opportunity to get back into the game, or to move into the game back at the college level and work with young men and the issues that young men go through between age 18 to 22 and then also as young graduates. And it seemed far more meaningful to me at that particular time in my life than working in club circles with youth soccer and an administrative level.
So again, it sounds like you're saying that the Holy Spirit was even at work in that situation too.
Yes, very, very much so. And if you learn to be obedient, then the path is often pretty clear. It's not always convenient, but and it was a successful club. I enjoyed it very much. I wasn't necessarily looking to leave, but when the alternative presented itself, it really was a no-brainer, as they say.
Well, again, you just hear the voice of God saying, John, your work is done in Omaha. I need you in North Carolina. And you do kind of scratch your head and say, why would I do that? And
yeah.
God knows why. We don't know why in those situations, but he knew where he needed you.
Well, yes, exactly. And at the time, in addition to working with the Omaha club, where I was also working for the Catholic Defense League of Nebraska, defending the civil rights and religious rights of Catholics through the Midwest. And it was during that interaction there that I came across this small private liberal arts college, Catholic college in Belmont, North Carolina, that was kind of facing its own challenges by nature of sticking with its orthodoxy. And so I sent a note at the time to the president, President Bill Thierfelder, just as a note of support and acknowledgement of the good work that they were doing under some persecution and suffering. And he responded and said, thank you so much. We appreciate that you're up there in Nebraska watching us and praying for us. And that was it. And then it was a couple of years later that the position at the Abbey opened up.
Wow.
And even when I saw it and it was brought to my attention, it was not something I considered in the moment. It was actually brought to me by a friend of mine, Mike Lynch, who was coaching with me in Nebraska. And the deadline, as I remember, was I think December 20th, 5 p.m. or something like that. and or even midnight. I'm not sure if it was that specific, but I remember with it being an hour to spare on the clock. And I was fully engrossed in Advent already, just suddenly having this idea to reread that job posting. And I reread it, and I realized that I had about 45 minutes on the clock to get this thing in. And,
wow.
And I sent in the most rudimentary of resumes, and it basically said, I am a Catholic who happens to be a soccer coach. If you're looking for a soccer coach who happens to be Catholic, I'm not your guy. But if it's the other way around, please read on. And
wow.
The very, very next morning, I got a call from The Athletic, and I sent that to Dr. Theofelder, who I'd had this brief relationship with 2 years prior to that as the Catholic Defense League influence. And he instructed his athletics director to call me. And the moment that phone rang and I saw the college caller ID, I knew that I was going to be offered the job. I knew that I was going to land up here, notwithstanding the interviews and the visits with my wife.
Sure.
After that, it was so clear because of the prompting to go downstairs to my home office and send off that application with an hour to spare that I thought, oh boy, what am I getting into? And the best part of the whole story is the man who brought that to my attention, Mike Lynch, ended up accepting the women's coaching position at Belmont Abbey College.
Wow.
We had both given each other references without knowing it, and we both packed up our respective families and drove down together to take on our new jobs.
Wonderful.
Beautiful story.
Wonderful. Yeah. And how. Well, with all that you're doing with the student athletes over your tenure at Belmont Abbey, as I said in the intro, going on 10 years now, you say that you think of that as something other than a career.
Yes, absolutely, because I was enjoying a career in Omaha that didn't need to be changed, but it presented itself to me as an apostolate. And, you know, when it does so in that form, it's unmistakable, and you're filled with passion to do it, and you have to be obedient to it. And I've never thought anything other than an apostolate. I've had one really bad day here in close to 10 years. But every day has been practically joy-filled.
Praise God. Wow.
Yeah.
John, I'm doing my best to honor and glorify God through this show. But as I said 3 weeks ago on episode 48, as nice as this whole idea of the intersection of our faith life and our sports life is, it's not always sunshine and flowers.
No, it isn't. It isn't. So I feel your pain on that one, Bruce. And there's definitely times that test it. We had an athlete 4 or 5 years ago, young guy, came down with a terminal illness and succumbed to it shortly after graduating. And in my last conversation with him, he was quite clear that he did not believe in a heaven or a hell or any doctrine of that kind, and practically just assumed that just life would end, things would go dark, and that was the end of his existence. And it was a very, very difficult thing to stomach that here I was involved in this apostolate, to bring young guys into the exposure and light of Christ. And here was this fellow who was, for all intents and purposes, atheistic and expected life just to end that way. And it felt like a significant failure. And there have been others like that, but there have been also good days.
Listeners, John coached a previous Catholic Sports Radio guest, and John has a patron saint. But no, it's not St. Benedict, despite John being a Benedictine oblate. But before we reveal those two names, I want to mention first that whether you work at a Catholic school, or if you work or volunteer for a diocese, or are involved with your parish or some other ministry or organization that does events such as a sports night, a parish mission, a men's conference, a diocesan event, or maybe even something a little less obvious, a little less predictable, a little less traditional. Maybe it's out in the secular world. Something else where my Catholic Sports Radio ministry is a fit. I would be most grateful for the opportunity to come in as a guest speaker for whatever the occasion is that you or others are planning. Do familiarize yourself with my faith walk and my sports background, both on episode 1 of this show as well as on the website where it says Meet the Host in the About section. And then look for the 5-question Request Bruce as a Guest Speaker form on CatholicSportsRadio.net to start that conversation. And then also on CatholicSportsRadio.net, if you do like what I'm doing here, if you're tuning in regularly to Catholic Sports Radio, if it's helping your faith life, if you believe in this ministry, you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio, you're getting some type of value, some benefit from it, and want to help out, I would appreciate your support. I am just a one-man show taking this on all by myself, including doing all the producing, hosting, and editing of this show every week, as well as the administrative and promotional work, booking the guests, and so on, which means that All the expenses come out of my pocket, so if you feel I'm giving you something each week that you'd like to support, utilize the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net, which will give you the opportunity to contribute in whatever amount you wish securely online. And for those of you that don't like the idea of putting credit card information online, just email me, Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net, and I will get you an address to send a check or money order to via U.S. mail. Otherwise, look for the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Pray about it and see if this ministry might be somewhere that you feel inspired to include in your tithing. I would truly appreciate your support. John, back on episode 40, my guest was Clay Dimmick, who is a pro soccer player with the Charlotte Independents. Listeners, if you did not hear that one yet, go back and listen to episode 40. During that interview, Clay speaks very highly of the tremendous influence, John, that you had on him, sure, with soccer, but with his faith life.
Well, it's been a blessing to have him in my life, as it has been all the other guys now, in numbering in the 300-400 that have been part of this college. But certainly it's great to see the Holy Spirit working in the lives of young men. And considering that he stayed local as well, we've been able to literally monitor his path to the Lord in person. It's been great.
Talk about pregame before the Belmont Abbey players leave the locker room to take the field. Is there prayer in your pregame speech to them, or is there prayer that's separate from you? And if so, is it led by you, led by a captain, led by a different player each time? What's the scene in that room?
Well, given that our particular team is not exclusively Catholic, but is made up of Catholics and non-Catholics alike, and atheists, and guys all the way along that faith journey, prayer is an interesting one. We ended up using the universal prayer of the Our Father as a way to bring the guys together rather than any other form of prayer, which can sometimes, I suppose, differentiate or diversify a group in that sense. So everybody knows the Our Father, right? So that's kind of why we started with that, and that's what we do before every game, in the huddle, everybody involved. However, at the end of every practice session, the players circle up, and we'll usually look at one fella, and these include guys that don't usually pray, are uncomfortable with it, or not used to it, and others that are used to it, and we'll draw on them just to say a quick word, a quick prayer of gratitude and thanks. And that's a really beautiful moment, because for some of these fellows, they've not prayed before, at least not vocally and publicly. And we just use that moment to talk them through it and help them through it and say, this is no different to talking to your father, having a chat with dad. So just tell him how grateful you are for what you've got here with your brothers and a great environment and a beautiful day. And it kind of breaks down barriers to prayer in that way. So that's how we handle prayer, Bruce.
And is that what John Keating does for the soccer program, or is there someone at Belmont Abbey that tells all the coaches, look, this is kind of how we want you to handle prayer?
No, that's kind of unique to our program, though, and not, certainly not mandated or prescribed, although I do see a lot of the other teams and their coaches doing something very, very similar. The college itself, the broadcasting unit, will also do a prayer before the game that blesses, asks the Lord to bless the game and help through injuries and bless our opponents and the referees and spectators and so on and so on. But that's kind of what we do uniquely as a team.
Okay. Well, I teased this a few minutes ago. Go ahead and tell the listeners who your patron saint is.
Oh, well, I have three, in fact, St. Benedict, John Bosco, and Thomas More. But as far as my apostolate goes with the players, John Bosco has come in very, very useful. I occasionally accuse my players of being juvenile delinquents, and they laugh at that. But something we're all capable of that as men. And but John Bosco was phenomenal, as history shows, and very blessed in his apostolate with the young men of Milan. And so sometimes, well, I have a big poster in my office, and I look at it regularly. I have his image on my coffee mug. And he's a constant reminder to me of the selflessness that's required to work with young men and inspire them and lead them to the Lord. So he and I do very, very similar work, and so he's always by my side. I invoke him regularly and his intercession.
I like it. But let's make sure to give St. Benedict his due, though, because it sounds like John Bosco is first, and St. Benedict is probably a close second.
Yeah, those two, it's a race. I mean, to the top of the ladder, they've both been influential. St. John Bosco more recently, St. Benedict over a lifetime. When I was young, my parents in South Africa, growing up with my brothers, my parents made the decision to put all three of us in a private boys' Catholic school. And the school that they chose, despite some financial hardship along the way, they were not affluent by any means, was St. Benedict's College. College really meaning preparatory school, I suppose, in the end. But I went there from age 8 to 18 with 30 other young men and my brothers. And so from there, then I obviously came to the United States once graduating from high school at St. Benedict. And then when I made my way to the Midwest, I was in Omaha and came across this Benedictine monastery down the road without knowing about it initially that was also running a school, Mount Michael. And there I found out about the Benedictine Oblate program. And then my wife and I became Oblates. And then to kind of connect the rest of the dots, of course, the Holy Spirit prompted me to come to Belmont Abbey, which is a Benedictine institution. But to amplify that, when I came here on my first of two interviews, I happened to stop in to a lecture in the Hayde Theater. And the presenter was Father Dwight Longenecker, who is actually a married priest. He was an Anglican priest, I believe, who was kind of doing a promotion on his book, St. Benedict for Fathers. It was about the rule of St. Benedict for dads. And this will blow your mind, but I had that very book with me already. I'd been reading it for years.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Just the rule broken down into daily bite-sized pieces. And so I had Dwight Longenecker autograph my book on St. Benedict while I was on this Benedictine campus. It's just, you know, it was just another one of those kind of God-confirming moments that said, this is really, really where you had to be. One final point on that. When I walked into the Basilica on campus one day, I realized that its original name was Mary Help of Christians. Belmont Abbey, Mary Help of Christians. And then the more I read about St. John Bosco, I realized as well that when people would come to him for help, he would say, not just pray to Mary, pray to the Mother of God, but pray to Mary Help of Christians. And so all of those confirming moments make me pretty happy the way God taking care of stuff.
Beautiful, beautiful. And as I mentioned, I am a Benedictine Oblate myself. And listeners, if you do familiarize yourself with my faith background and my sports background, either by going back and listening to the first ever episode or by reading on the website, you see that I do still call the broadcasts for University of Tampa men's and women's lacrosse, and even sometimes for University of Tampa women's softball. And so the schedules are out, and they were asking me to fill in for all the games that I'll on the form that they have for all the different personnel that fill the different roles. And sure enough, the first Sunday in February, it said that the softball team has a home game that day. And I looked and I said, well, that's Oblate Sunday. I can't do it. I have to be at the St. Leo Abbey that day for Oblate Sunday. So, you know, let that just resonate. You might remember way back on episode 4, Mike Candrea, the coach of USA softball that won the Olympic gold medal, but he also coaches collegiately at Arizona, has for years and years. And, you know, he was saying, those are the choices that we have to make. You know, what message are we sending to our kids these days when we're saying, go to Mass on Sunday, go to Mass, make sure you're in church. And then we're scheduling tournaments on a Sunday morning. So obviously that has resonated with me to where I passed up the chance to work that game and they'll get someone else to do the broadcast because my loyalty is with the Lord and with the St. Leo Abbey and being there for Oblate Sunday. John, we're about out of time, but I do want to give you the opportunity. During the Clay Dimmick interview on episode 40, we heard about your youngest, Savannah, but tell the listeners about your family and the Keatings as a Catholic family.
Well, my wife is Tony. She was born in New Zealand and she actually converted to the faith somewhere prior to us getting married. And then we have three boys, Jack, Ronan, Dublin, T, Jude, Keating, Finney and Reagan, and then Savannah Rain. And they're just fantastic kids, but they're 17, 15, 13, and 9. Yeah, so it's a very happy family. Some of them are homeschooled, some of them are schooled away from home, and They're all just loving life. A couple of older kids are now doing a little bit of part-time work as well with the Susan B. Anthony list, and it's a pretty blessed life we live here surrounding the college.
And what parish do y'all belong to?
We're members of St. Michael's Catholic Church in Gastonia, which is about 10 minutes from Belmont Abbey.
Ah, I had a great aunt, may her soul rest in peace. She lived in Gastonia, so it's a small world after all. John, it's been wonderful talking to you. God bless you. Thank you for your time with Catholic Sports Radio. Really enjoyed this.
Thank you for having me on, Bruce. I enjoyed it equally.
My pleasure. Listeners, let's close with an athlete's prayer as a nod to all those student athletes that John is working with, has worked with, and let's do it together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For I asked God for strength that I might achieve. Instead, I was made weak that I might learn to humbly obey. I asked for help that I might do greater things. Instead, I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praises of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for, but everything I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. Because I am among all athletes who have been most richly blessed, you see, I lost by inches, but I won by a mile. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.